Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
It's sad times at Chavez Ravine. The Dodgers, are they falling apart? I don't know. Let's talk about it. It is July 8th. Deferred Collusion is back. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Lord Paramount of the South Bay in Los Angeles, California, Brandon Bollinger. How you doing, Brando? It's been a week. How was your 4th of July? How was your weekend? Talk to the people at home.
Jesse, I'm here live in Los Angeles, California. The Dodgers have fallen. It is a failed organization.
Yeah.
We got arms falling off. We got guys can't hit in baseballs. God, the tiniest guy in baseball just beat our brains in on the 4th of July. Swept us. Just beat us around. Just really, really let us have it. Almost as much as Astros fans has let us have it, but in the comment section, Jess. But other than that, man, I've been pretty good. We'll get into it. I'm floating around the notion right now that we have a 3,000K curse.
Oh no,
afflicting our team right now. But Jess, you know how it is, dude. You're back with your blue collar pod, your boys, Deferred Collusion. While we got you here, please, folks, give us a like, a subscribe, share it with your friends, hit us in the comments, whatever you like. Really helps the algo and the algorithmic gods we are trying to serve. But anyways, Jess, how are you doing? How was your 4th of July? I didn't really answer all your questions. Yeah. I'm lost in the sauce.
Yeah, no, I was in, I went up to Palm Springs for the weekend, had a nice little getaway, a little decompression with the missus, a couple of friends. We had a very nice time up there. It was pretty hot, but, you know, got a chance to watch some baseball from Palm Springs, and I wish I didn't. I wish I had just enjoyed my vacation, because it didn't... It was not a good weekend for the Dodgers, but at least I didn't go to the game. That would have been terrible, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, the 4th of July was not what I would call fun, Jess.
So let me ask you something, because it was 18-1.
It was 18-1.
You were at the game.
I'm at the game.
And you're with your kid. And
with
so the fireworks are after the game. So in order for her to see the fireworks, did you have to stay all 9 innings for an 18-1 blowout loss to the Astros?
We stayed for the whole game, Jess, and I got there an hour early.
Oh my God.
But dude, it was so packed. It was sold out. Got some dogs, got some beers. We're all excited. It's going to be a fun time. Altuve comes up to bat. Everybody's booing him. Oh, he lines a double. I forgot the leadoff hitter. I think it was Isak Paredes. Hits a freaking no-doubter down the left field line. Ben Kasparis got lit up. I know there was some controversy. People were freaking out about something Oral said on the broadcast. I think it was like 7-1 at the time. And he was like, oh, I don't want to, you know, bring up old wounds. Something about... it almost seems like they know what was coming. And I think that was more of like a comment about tipping pitches than like actual cheating. I think that got blown out of proportion. But
yeah,
I don't know. I wasn't listening. I was too busy getting beat up. But Jess, yeah, so there was fireworks after the game. So by like Dude, I think by like the fourth inning, it was 7 or 8 to 1.
Yeah, it was over.
And yeah, it was over. So by the seventh inning stretch, you got people in the crowd going like, we got this, just 2 touchdowns and a field goal. We just got to get an onside kick. We're back. And that joke was really fun until like the ninth inning where it's still like, oh my God, it's been like 45 minutes. We're still here. Just let us get out of here.
We didn't even score enough runs to make it a football score, though. That's the problem. I mean,
it was bad. Thank God for Will Smith's home run. But yeah, dude, it didn't stop there. They would lose on Sunday and Saturday, respectively. Saturday looked like they could have had that one. I think Sunday they lost 5-1. So just, you know, getting their butts beat of those darn Astros. And then, lost another stinker yesterday.
Yeah, I mean,
to the Brewers. Yamamoto doesn't get out of the first inning. Ends up being 9-1. Jess.
Yeah. I want to get to Yamamoto, but I just do have a couple of notes on the Astros here. It's amazing. I don't know how they keep doing this. I made a video making light of it. It's like the worst series I've seen the Dodgers play at home all year. I know a lot of people were mentioning the Angels series when the Dodgers got swept, but I just think this is worse because this is an actual team that we might have to face in the World Series, and they just didn't look. Obviously, there's injuries involved, and this is coming off of the Max Muncy injury, which was a little bit deflating. But ever since, I know that you're working on this theory that maybe there's like a little bit of a curse going on, the Clayton Kershaw curse.
The curse of 3,000 Ks is, I think, what they're calling it in the streets, Jesse. So, and I'll tell you why. I can
tell
you
the same play, by the way.
Right,
the same play was the Muncy blowing out his knee and Kershaw getting the strikeout. It was the same at bat.
Yes. Jess, just to give you a quick rundown, my order of events, I think that was last Thursday. Kershaw hits the 3K mark. It's great. I got a pipe burst in my freaking living room, dude. So I got water streaming down. We got to do something about it, stat. Very auspicious start to the holiday weekend, right? Just for me to drive through traffic to Dodger Stadium to watch the worst home loss ever at Dodger Stadium in Dodgers history. So I get to see that 18-1 debacle. Yeah. Like you said, Muncy blows his arm out. The same play. It's like, it's so bittersweet for Kershaw, right?
His knee.
Like every moment for Kershaw is like bittersweet. So, sorry, I was reminded of Muncy's arm being bent back a couple years ago at first base. Now
on the final day of the year, too, by the way.
And now sliding into third base, this guy has had such a turnaround this season.
Yeah.
Gets the glasses, deserves to be an all-star. I don't blame people for not voting him for the first half of the first month or two of the season. But has turned it around and is just such a dog for this team, and has been now for the 7 years he's been on the Dodgers? I think
2018.
Second longest tenured Dodger. Or I think probably the longest now in, he's been there.
Kershaw.
Position player.
Oh, position. Yeah.
TK was there before, but he went to Boston for a couple of years. So I guess the longest.
Muncy, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, shouts out Muncy. But yeah, so it's just all going sideways. You think you're going to have a bounce back series with the Brewers with Yamamoto on the mound. You got Glasnow coming back, but at time of recording, it's 1-0, I believe. Yeah. Dodgers. Chalet took Mizorowski deep, but
one thing I want to say, I did want to talk about the Astros a little bit because I don't know how they keep doing this because they gave up Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker, and I thought that was like, I was making videos saying that this signals the end of the Astros dynasty. And I was thinking that this was the year for the Mariners to really take a step forward. If they went out and got a bat, they have the arms to do it. And surely enough, they get rid of Bregman. They trade Tucker. They let Bregman walk. They make this trade of their top prospect to get Isak Paredes and Cam Smith. Who did they trade to get him again? Oh, it was Tucker. They end up getting Isak Paredes and Cam Smith to sort of supplement what they had lost. Isak Bredis turns out has been a great addition, and you know Altuve's been great, and Christian Walker just continues to be a fucking Dodger killer.
God.
And it's like, okay, they just are passing the baton. They're right back to where they started. I made a video about it, kind of saying, you know, fuck them, whatever. They, you know, like, I know it's been 7 or 8 years since it happened, but whatever. They still suck, you know, that sort of thing. And we got a lot of Astro fans in our comments who are happy to rub it in. So I will say, congratulations, you guys won. And I don't know how you keep doing it because your owner fucking sucks. So yeah, that's what I'll say about them. They beat the shit out of us, but Otani at least did look great on the mound. That's the one silver lining of all of this is that he did look nasty. Struck out 3 and 2 innings, but I think
struck out the side in the second inning, I believe, which is pretty pretty encouraging. But Jess, his stats haven't been looking so good since you started pitching. Not on the pitching end, mind you.
Yeah.
But at the dish. I don't know what I did with those numbers, but he was batting around like 285 before he started pitching. It's now down to 200 since he started tossing the pill again. I got those numbers.
I have it right here. Shohei Ohtani in 2025 before pitching. 297 with a 393 on base and a 642 slug. Since pitching, he's hitting 200 with a 333 on base and a 486 slug. Now, it is worth mentioning that he did just hit a home run off of Jacob Mizrowski to start this game against the Brewers. But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because he hasn't taken on a very big workload as a pitcher yet. But it does go to show that there are going to be certain side effects that you feel from Shohei using some of his preparation days towards pitching. This is why everybody thought that this couldn't be done. But I would bet all my money on Shohei Ohtani figuring out a way to you know, get his offense back going again, because it's not as if he's been bad. He just has taken a little bit of a dip, and it's only been like 2 weeks since he started pitching. So, small sample size.
Totally. I agree with that. I think that's a level-headed take. But I think in the context of the 3,000K curse, you're seeing your MV3 slump. Mookie's had a tough season all year, since that sickness in Japan. He has just not really been the same. I think his OPS is around 700, which for him is the worst of his career before the All-Star break. I think he's still stuck at around 9 home runs. Freddie has been slumping after a white-hot start to the season. So you got your top three slumping. Teoscar has still not really looked himself since coming off the injured list. Tommy Edman has got an injured toe, which has been affecting his swing. And now we've recalled James Outman from AAA, who was playing great, had a double in last night's game. And you're hoping to see a little bit more from Ha-Seong Kim. Hoping to see some more playing time, but by the very nature of just times are tough, it seems like he's going to get plenty of ABs. And Conforto still looking terrible, so shouts out to consistency.
Yeah, I mean, with the Muncy injury, I think we're going to see Kim getting more playing time now, because that's a part of the reason why Tommy Edman wasn't playing a lot of outfield, and why Michael Conforto was playing over Ha-Seong Kim was because Tommy Edman was dealing with his foot injury, and it was holding him back a little bit. Now it looks like the Dodgers
on the injured list as well with a left elbow discomfort.
So the Dodgers don't have a choice now. They're gonna have to play Kim, and now Miguel Rojas is starting more at third base. Him and Kike will probably split the lion's share there.
Kike's on the injured list.
Huh?
Kike's on the injured
list. Kike is. So Miguel Rojas. So the Dodgers are just out of options at this point. They're doing what they have to do. But it is worth noting that Alex Freeland, the Dodgers' top prospect, he's been getting in some time at third base. He's not great defensively at third, not a natural third baseman. There's a chance that the Dodgers call him up to play some third base. We don't know yet. I think that the Muncy, I'll just have to push back a little bit about the curse of 3Ks. I'll call it the curse of Muncie's knee, but I do think that like the 3K curse just has, it rolls off the tongue better. So I'll let you have this one, Brandon.
Jesse,
but,
I do have a, I do have a valid reason for
you do. You also just know how to turn a phrase. So I just think that, you know, it just rolls off the tongue better, but I do think it's more about Muncie.
But I agree, but I also believe in the baseball gods. That has been well documented on this podcast. And Jesse, the baseball gods, they don't like tall grass. And the Dodgers have been getting pretty tall, sustaining a lot of injuries, still having the best record in baseball. You can't really – something's got to give. Yeah. They've been doing this high-wire, tightrope act and, you know, giving up a bunch of runs and then slugging a bunch of runs late, getting to people's bullpens and, you know, winning. I think they have the most comeback wins in baseball right now. And anyways – my point
3,001 strikeouts for Kershaw, by the way.
Let's go, dude. They said it couldn't happen. They keep coming. Kershaw, 58 years old, legacy all-star game pick. He said that felt a little weird. I think the last legacy all-star pick we saw was T.O. Albert Pujols a couple years ago. That was fun. I think Jeter was a... was the same, a little legacy all-star pick. So
yeah. Well, apparently so is Julio Rodriguez, but we can get into that another day.
We can talk about that later. Those numbers ain't numbering, dude. My boy Andy Páez got robbed. But again, that's all part of the curse. The curse is taking effect. It's just the baseball gods being a little ticky-tacky. And watch, some team we're not expecting is about to go on like a freaking like 11-2 run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's got to be something funky's about to happen, Jess. Watch. You watch, bud. You watch.
Yeah. I mean, I will attribute it to just the Dodgers, you know. I think they just bumped into the Astros and yesterday's game against the Brewers at the wrong time, probably. After the Kershaw thing, then the Muncie news comes in that they're not going to have him for 6 weeks. Maybe they just needed – they just exhausted a lot of energy. And now they kind of had a little bit of an adrenaline crash going to that Astro series. They got caught at the wrong time, and they're going to reboot and they'll be fine. And we do have good news because Tyler Glass now comes back tomorrow. So he will be back on the mound first time in like a couple months. And, as we mentioned, the Dodgers also called up, Alexis Diaz for some bullpen reinforcements. But he has not been so good in AAA. He had a 9.64 ERA since coming over and pitching in the Dodgers farm system in 4 2/3 innings. But the Dodgers were like, we've seen enough. 9.62 ERA, we've seen enough. Get him up. We're good. He'll just serve for the Brent Honeywell role for the remainder of this season.
Dude, as long as he throws strikes and they're not just getting tagged out. Just get some ground balls. Give me some ground balls. That's all we need.
Yamamoto came in. Let's talk a little bit about that start because he pitched. He pitched yesterday, and I guess the Kershaw curse, the 3K curse, rubbed off on him too because he couldn't even get out of the first inning. This was the worst start I think I've ever seen from Yamamoto. I know that obviously there's that famous first outing when he pitched against the Padres last year in Korea, but this was different. This was he a little unfortunate because I think Mookie made an error when it was 3-0 and it extended the inning, and then. That sort of kept the inning rolling, and then the fucking wheels just came off basically. But it's interesting because he's actually been a better pitcher on the road, if I'm not mistaken. I believe you sent me that. I have it somewhere.
Yeah, so he's got, I believe, of like the 20 pitchers that qualify for this stat, or 59 pitchers that qualify for this stat, Yamamoto ranks sixth at the largest home versus away ERA difference. So I think his away ERA is 2.12, while his home ERA is like 3.3 or something like that. Jess, you got that number?
Yeah, sorry. His away ERA is 2.12, and his home ERA is 3.38.
So close.
So I believe his away ERA, though, has it gone up since yesterday?
I'm sure it had to have.
It was just surprising that he was as bad as he was yesterday. But
season. Games like that are going to happen. It sucks. And it just seems like it's one of those our pets' heads are falling off moments where anything that could go wrong for a team is going wrong for the Dodgers right now.
Yeah. And that's not to say that we're concerned, because as of right now, it's 1-0 Dodgers in the third. It's Clayton Kershaw versus Jacob Mizorowski, who is probably the nastiest pitcher in baseball right now. I think we'd probably agree, like, he's the most electric arm in baseball at the moment. And Shohei did hit a home run.
Who?
Huh?
Never heard of Paul Skeens before,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, well, I mean, dude, I was seeing some people, like, I was seeing some polls, like, who would you take right now, Jacob Mizorowski or Paul Skeens?
Who are you taking right now on this limited exposure of Mizorowski and the limited exposure of Paul Skeens? I mean, granted, it's much greater than Mizorowski.
I think because we saw Paul Skeens do a full season last year as a rookie, I think it's pretty obviously it should be Paul Skeens. I'm just saying that, like, the debate is there about electric arms. And also, we already saw the battle of Mizorowski versus Skeens, and Mizorowski won. So,
dang, dude. I thought you were going to stand on business with Mizorowski
I still believe in Skeens.
Oh, dude, you are a Paul Skeens simp. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
I am. So, yeah, we're in the middle of the game right now, so we're not going to have any post game for you guys. Sorry, but hopefully the Dodgers win. Hopefully they turn it around. But since with Muncy out, I guess we have to start to consider that the trade deadline is coming up. What are certain things you think the Dodgers can do with Muncy out? Do you think they're going to go after a third baseman? Will they? Do you want them to? Or do you think we should maybe find a solution within, like, Alex Freeland, who I mentioned earlier?
Alex Freeland is an intriguing and enticing option, and really is what I think kind of fits what the Dodgers are looking for. I wouldn't be surprised to see a minor signing like last year's Nick Ahmed, just a warm body that can play defense pretty much. You don't mind losing the at-bats as long as the position is covered. It's tough, right? Because there's a lot of guys that are just banged up. You know, your Tommy Edmonds banged up. You know, I think Miguel Rojas, even though he's not technically injured, was dealing with that abdominal tear last season.
He just doubled, by the way. Rojas just doubled.
Let's go, dude. Yeah. Mickey Rowe.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, Freddie had a couple surgeries in the offseason. They're saying, like, maybe a little bit of that is catching up with them. You know, you already see it with how they, I don't want to call it a platoon at catcher, but there's built-in off days for Will Smith for a long season. Right. My point is, while it seems like every time the Dodgers make a big move, everybody goes, well, that's what the Dodgers always do, forgetting that they didn't make a move for a couple years there. They kind of just ate payroll, shrunk it a little bit, and got ready for Ohtani, you know, while still fielding a very competitive team. I think that's what we'll see, maybe a trade for some journeyman type. I know there's a lot of excitement around Brian Reynolds.
Well, he's not a third baseman.
Of course, but I'm just talking about moving guys around.
I do want to talk about Reynolds. One note, there is something I agree with you on. I don't think the Dodgers are going to make a big trade for a third baseman for a variety of reasons. Number one being Muncy is expected back in 6 weeks, right? That's the ideal timeline, but that it seems like he will be back before the season's over. So why would you go out and trade for a third baseman if you're going to get Muncy back at the end of the year? Secondly, what are the options? Eugenio Suarez is like the big third base option that's on the trade market with the Diamondbacks seemingly falling out of contention. It seems like Suarez is likely going to get traded, but like they're not going to trade Suarez to the Dodgers. The Diamondbacks just won't do it unless they rob him. The other options out there are probably not so enticing, and Nolan Arenado is probably one of them, but the Cardinals are in contention. So I don't think that they're going to trade Arenado now. So I think that you're right. They're probably going to go after somebody in the farm. You just sent me a message here that you think that they should package Conforto in a trade. I don't hate it. You can work on that take, but I think that they're more likely to call up Freeland, get him some time in, And then just sort of like a stopgap for Max Muncy for when Muncy comes back. That would be my guess.
And on just to, you know, piggyback to your point, you know, depending on what Estuary Ruiz gives you and James Outman, you know, it might be a nice little blow for this damaged outfield we got with, you know, Teo doing his best, but clearly not looking good at the dish, not looking good in right field.
Mookie just missed a home run by like 1 foot. God damn it.
He's still putting weight on, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that, you know, giving that outfield a rest is going to be big as well for preventative stuff. But yeah, I think Muncy's going to be out, what, like 6 weeks? Six, seven weeks, something like that.
Yeah. Luckily it's not a tear. It was just a deep, like a knee bruise or like a. Yeah.
That's what they're calling it.
Yeah. So we'll see. But, It was best case scenario because his leg bent sideways. I mean, it looked pretty nasty. Yeah.
Is there any update on Blake Snell's recovery? I know there was something maybe last week I heard, but nothing definitive.
I think it's actually kind of going slower than they expected, but I did see that he was on the mound. He posted himself on the mound doing some rehab. As of right now, Blake Snell is nearing a rehab assignment. I know, and so is Blake Treinen. So both of the Blakes were getting in some work, and they're both nearing some rehab assignments.
Jess, before we go on to this next segment, I just want to ask where we are right now in the thick of it, tied for our longest losing streak in the season. Sorry, speaking Dodger fandom, but. Our longest losing streak in the season. What do you want to see your Dodgers do if you can get one move, dude? Is it for an arm or a bat? And if so, who?
I think I would probably want the Dodgers. I think that maybe going after... an outfielder could work. But I think in reality, the Dodgers, what they're most likely to do is do what they have normally done under the Friedman era, which is go after low-risk, high-reward guys, trading for maybe some like bullpen arms that are injury-prone, because that's just what the Dodgers do. But also, you know, maybe not having like their best career season, but the Dodgers can package one of their mid-tier prospects to get them. And maybe eat some payroll. That's what the Dodgers are really good at doing, because they take a flyer on like a few different guys. They throw stuff at a wall. Hopefully one of them sticks. I think that the Dodgers will be doing that. I think they're going to be relying on Snell and Glasnow to be healthy, obviously, because that's what they have, you know, they have invested in, is the a lot of money into these two guys. And, you know, also Shohei is going to be building up his innings over the next few months. So I don't think that they're going to go after any big name pitchers. I would think third baseman, like you said, a stopgap is the possibility. But if I were in like a perfect world, I would like them to maybe get like a big time bullpen arm. That would be nice, because Tanner Scott's been a little all over the place. The bullpen's been a little bit iffy lately. I like Lou Trevino, you know, I like Jack Trier, but like, I don't want to see too much of them. And I feel like they've just been overexposed and I don't see them being on a playoff roster, you know? Yeah. So I think we need to get some reinforcements in the bullpen probably.
I love that take, Jess. Like that. We'll keep an eye on it and,
you know who the Dodgers won't be trading for?
Who's that?
They won't be trading for Brian Reynolds, because this is so funny, dude. We need to wrap on this, but Brian Reynolds, the Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder, he's actually signed to a pretty long-term contract with them. I don't have the numbers on it, but it was released that people are speculating, with the Pirates being terrible like they always are, that this is finally going to be the year that they trade Brian Reynolds. Probably their biggest trade chip, or their best player on offense, I guess. But he has a no trade list in his contract that comprises of six teams, and all six of the teams are playoff teams right now. He has a no trade list for the Yankees, Blue Jays, Mets, Giants, Padres, and the Dodgers. So the Dodgers won't be able to trade for him. I guess this guy just has non-refundable tickets to Cancun in October, Brandon, because this dude has no interest in ever winning a championship or playing any sort of meaningful baseball. And, yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was hilarious that all six of the teams are probably like six of the top eight or nine teams in baseball.
It is funny, and I don't know if maybe that was like purposeful or it just kind of so happened. Maybe it was like teams that like pass on him in the draft and he never like got over it. But it is pretty hilarious that it's like exclusively teams that will be either in October or fighting for an October berth.
Or will be trading for, would be willing to trade for somebody like him to improve the team. Like, what other teams are going to be looking to trade for him right now?
When he was...
Maybe the Cubs?
Signed his deal with the Pirates, was he signed as a second baseman originally before he moved to outfield, or am I making that up?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You hate Brian Reynolds, dude.
But he... But I mean, like, the Cubs, for example, they'd be a pretty team. Like, they have one of the best outfields in baseball. They're not trading for him. Maybe the Cardinals? Maybe the...
Padres?
Tigers could trade for Brian Reynolds?
Yeah. I know there's been a lot of talk with who's the Red Sox guy that the Padres have been linked to. It doesn't matter. Who fucking cares?
Yeah. Anyways, I just thought it was hilarious that, you know, that Brian Reynolds had us on his no trade list, but also five other playoff teams. Like, so good luck, man. Enjoy your vacation in October, brother.
Hey, it's that Pittsburgh state of mind, dude. You got other places you want to be in October.
Brandon,
not a city of champions like the Kansas City, brother. Ever heard of it? The Kansas City.
That's right. Brandon, this was a fun one. We'll do a longer episode next week. I got to get going. But we kept it tight this week, bro. I said 30 minutes, and it's been 30 minutes and 48 seconds. We fucking nailed it, brother. We crushed it.
Look at that.
Bunt. Look at them guns.
Bunt. Look at that.
Oh, dude, I love that.
Perfect bunt.
Keep them guessing, dude. Keep them guessing. All right. Well, next week we will recap the Dodgers. We'll talk about, by the way, something we didn't mention. Andy Páez, we love you, brother. You absolutely deserved to be on the All-Star team, and you got snubbed.
Brutal.
The fact that Julio Rodriguez is an All-Star for the American League, but Andy Páez is not for the National League is a crime. You deserve better, my friend, but there will be many opportunities for you in the future. So.
Some people are saying that Mookie stole Páez's spot and that Mookie didn't deserve it.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever.
But, I mean, like, Ronald Acuna, you know, it was an All-Star too. It's like...
Names. It's names.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really all there is to it. But, Jess, since you didn't ask, I'm just going to tell you before we get out of here. If the price is right, I could really see the Dodgers going after Sandy Alcantara. That's all, dude.
Oh.
Anyways.
Love it. Love it.
It's all good. This has been another episode with your Blue Collar Boys, Deferred Collusion. Don't forget to get us a like, subscribe, whatever you feel like. And, hey, what do you think? Dodgers are cursed? Do you think the 3K curse is real of Kershaw? I mean, what is it going to take? Is this his last year? Are the Dodgers cooked? Are the Giants about to go on a fucking run with Devers at first? I don't know.
I have a question.
Will Clark doesn't.
Should the Dodgers sell at the deadline? Is it time for them to just have a fire sale?
I think if you package a couple of stars like Dustin May, Lou Trevino, Michael Conforto, I think you get a haul.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you package Shohei, Kershaw, and Mookie... Shohei, Freddie, and Mookie, and you package. You can maybe get some good prospects in return, dude. I'm telling you.
Get some real future lookers.
Yeah. Really, really, really build your future. All right, brother.
Jump the shark here, dude. Jesse, I love you, bud.
We're too long. We didn't stick the landing. God damn it.
We didn't stick it. But it's all right, dude. We're getting better every day. Love you, buddy.
Love
it's
you, too.
It's always a pleasure. Love talking ball. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you.
Awkward ending.